You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ephesians and chapter 3. Ephesians and chapter 3. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you. Here we are. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. Thank you. Your work, on Calvary's cross, your word, your wonderful plan, your wonderful purpose. And our God, we thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. As we have traveled of late, we looked at the hope. We got to have hope, and our hope cannot be in ourselves, in the world system, or anything of the flesh. Our hope must be in God, and we shared all that using the pages to turn of your life. You don't know tomorrow. And we shared together, when the pages are turned, we don't know them. We don't know tomorrow. We don't even know this afternoon for sure. But God does. And that's why you put the next piece that belongs right together. It is his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I don't know tomorrow. God does. Our hope is in God. Our expectancy is in God, who's outworking that. Now, in order to take that a step further in our head and heart, if you would, we titled the message "For Good or Bad." Impedance. Just think of impedance to means to, if you go way back, to hold one's foot so they can't run. Impedance to impede, to hold the foot so you can't run, you can't move. Thus, bait, hindrance, impedance. We have electricity. You can't see electricity. You couldn't see if you spent 20 years looking at the wire. But I'll tell you what, if there's any question about its existence, all you got to do is put your fingers across it, and it will tell you that it's there. You don't have to guess. Put your fingers across, boops, there it is. Now, in that electricity, that's impedance. That's resistance, reacting. The wire reacts to electricity flow. That's called Ohm's law, etc. I know you're all excited about that. But that's impedance. Impedance is to what? Keep us from holding us back to go forward. Now, what do you mean go forward? God saves you from going nowhere to going forward. God saves you for his good working, his purposeful, awesome working. Now, in order to, you've got to at least say it. Ephesians chapter 3. And you would note, please, I'm going straight down in the light of the context. In verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How so? According to the power, the dynamic, dynamo, according to the power that works in us. Now, interesting enough, do you see the two words exceedingly abundant? Exceedingly abundant. That's three words, three little words. Beyond, out from, beyond measure. Beyond, out from the source, beyond measure. Now, in order to see that, I know you're all excited. If you could go look up at the sky at night when you'd see, go look at the Hubble and whatever you want to look at, and look at the trillions of galaxies or whatever it is out there. Awesome. If we take all of that, here's the beginning, here's the end of the stars. And here's the other end of the stars. beyond our understanding. This is a finite, small expression of God who has this in the middle. The finite expression. Now, take your literal expression. Beyond, out from. Here's our creation. Here's all of these stars, the second heaven, first heaven, second heaven. And we get into the third heaven, and wow, we get there now. So beyond, out from, beyond it all, beyond all the stars, is God. God is exceeding. What is it? God's exceeding. Here's the stars, and out from that, beyond that, endlessly. That's what the word means. Beyond all experience. That's why people say, well, it's going to be dull in heaven after 100 years. There are no years. So you don't have time to worry about, to even think about. And you never get dull. How can you never get dull? Because it's God's awesome person. Now, having said that, that power, that God, is in the heart of the believer. So if you receive the Lord as your Savior, that you need to know that. You may not ever come, or even hear anyway. Let's say, I don't understand. Well, you may never understand because you aren't even interested, maybe. But, that's what you want to understand in you. Now, having said that, I got to add to that, sliding over, if I can, to chapter 2 of Ephesians. And we may not get to the message on this, but at least you'll get something. Ephesians chapter 2. God, what did you tell us? We're saved by grace, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Remember now, chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. We had no relationship to God. When you get saved, you have a unique relationship to God. And picking up that relationship to God, verse 6, who hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? The purpose that, why? Why are we seated with him? That in the ages to come, and for out there when there is no more time, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So the church is a unique body. Israel, we can be all like this, all line up and have our different tents. But the church can't do that. The church is his body. So the whole parts of the body are all demonstrated by one body. What's the one body? Christ. He's the head, you're the body. That's why there's a unity, that's why there's a conformity, that's why we do it. The world is doing what it's doing, hang on. But God has done that, and he's going to demonstrate what I just tried to mumble out to you. Forever. He's going to demonstrate that he took you and us from being where we were to the highest point, place possible. To be in him, his body. Now, that's the future. Present, exceeding abundant power beyond all the stars. And that's our future. Let's take the future in order to enjoy the God. I can't understand that. Okay, take the next step. Over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again in the light of the context, may I go directly to verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, that means our physical body, your whole body is changing, they say it changes completely, every 7 years. You have no parts of your body left. Everything has changed. All gone. Start all over again. So wherever you left all the parts, and how many parts, how many 70 years old, well, that's 10 parts. What are you going to do? Well, what are we going to do with all the parts? God said, I don't need the parts. It's your body. Now, it's perishing. It's perishing. It's everything's disappearing. We have it, and it's all changing, changing, changing. Therefore, that affliction, being in this body, that's how you can get the flu and everything else, because you're in this body. For a light affliction, verse outward man is perishing, yet the inward, verse 16, the inward man is renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's all it is. How old are they? Well, I'm 50 years old. Well, that's good. 60 years old, I'm 25 years old. That's good. I'm 100 years old. It's only a little dot. It's a dot. So whether you live 10 years and you die 10 years old, we had that before, or 100 years old, it's immaterial. Because your life isn't that. That's here. Your life is in Christ, and that's eternal life that you have instantly before God. That's why you have such a living hope. Now, so therefore, verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So God, what you're doing here and letting happen through and to us, God said, do you understand? I'm doing exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, beyond anything you can imagine. I'm God, he said. And by the way, that's where you're going, and I want you to get there. But you'll never get there without a little exercise. And that's the trials, the tests, the troubles, the living in this human body with all of its ups and downs, its ins and outs. And you live with them, and you've done them. But our future is to enter in to the exceeding, which is already ours in Christ, in God, who's exceeding above all that we can ask or think, till we get there. And then we begin again in our eternal glory, enjoying God's wonderful person. That's the plan of God. That's when you get saved. So in order to catch the impedance, I need to get exceeding. God wants you to enjoy himself in a magnificent way so that you're not caught up in family, friends, anything, anywhere. The system, forget it. The system's caught. The system's caught trying to survive. The bad guys are pulling off everything, and the good guys, that using good and bad, those guys are trying to survive and doing everything they can to survive. That's why drugs, fashions, all of that exist. We're trying to cover for ourselves. We're trying to find something in a day when everything's being taken from us. That's what they got. That's where we are. But God, you have an awesome heaven. And the devil doesn't want that in any way, shape, or form. Therefore, let me remind you and myself in the process as we look that A, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you know, if you turn fast, I can move. I'll move fast. John chapter 6. I'm going to say it a lot of things, but maybe. Of all, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what do you want to know? That when God saves you, he saves you. Period. Do you understand? You don't save, God does the saving. So once you get that straight, your believing doesn't save you, your works don't save you, nothing saves you. God saves you. God does it all by his lonesome. So we're looking for God to do something wonderfully for us. Now, and you can't lose that over in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And you can keep reading down to verse 40, but what God? You can't lose anything. Now, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, how many times, depending on how old you are, how many times have you had to be born physically again? That sounds silly, doesn't it? You can't be. Once you're born physically, are you always physically born? You got out of bed this morning. You had no problem getting up. Why? Because you know you're physically born. Could you goof up your life and louse everything up? Absolutely. But you're still physically born. No matter how you cut the cookie, you're physically alive. When you get saved, God saves you. And you're spiritually saved. No matter how you louse up your body. No matter what you do. Now, don't say, well, I can. No, you can't do anything because you pay for it. We shared that. It's a wonderful thing. You can't lose your relationship to God. Not because of you or me, because God died on the cross for you before you were born. And he died for all of us. And he gave choice. If he didn't give choice, we'd be like a kangaroo or a jackrabbit or something. And the fish, instinctive. We'd be instinctive creatures. God didn't want instinctive creatures. He wanted us to be able to choose willfully and wonderfully to enjoy him. And therefore, you had to have choice. And God knew that, and he knew the choice would be bad. Therefore, the Lamb of God is slain before the foundation of the world. Christ died before he created anyone. And he determined to save you before you died. So that's why. So now we're looking at that. And the devil knows that. So you can't lose your salvation. And you're saved as by fire, 1 Corinthians 15. And in the process, God created you, not like a kangaroo, Genesis 1, 26, 27, in his image and likeness. God made you for him to enjoy himself and for you to enjoy God himself in a most wonderful way. To know and enjoy God in a most wonderful way, to be able to enjoy his glory. And humans fail. Humans fail to believe. They reject. They don't want our relationship. Because they're you. That's pride. I'm me. And that's our pride. And we do that. And the devil plays on that. The devil's going to play in it. And it makes the outworking of it very small. Because then there's, in the days of Noah, well, there's Noah. Days of Abraham, well, there's Abraham. Days of David, there's David. Israel, Paul, Peter, us. It isn't a great amount of people, no. Not just a handful, comparatively. And therefore, whosoever believes ought to have a unique personal relationship to God, which God had promised, he promised it, Genesis 3:15. He promised it and gave it to every human being that's born on planet Earth, to every one of us. That's what he has, exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That's what he has. That's God's thinking. That's what God wants. Now, us humans, you know, I'm a churchgoer, I'm a bishop, I'm an archbishop, I'm a deacon, I'm whatever I am, you know. I lead the choir, I do whatever. That's good. I preach. That's wonderful. It better be more than that. But we're content, not you guys, of course. We're content with not having less than that. It's church. We answered church all right. We fulfilled our obligations to God, to the God, the grocery store, the pharmacist. We fulfilled it in the spokes of the wheel. Just another spoke. Now, having said that, so therefore, we have a unique relationship to God, and God's purpose is to honor, as we shared that last time, God is God's, everything is created for his pleasure. And everything must end up that God is God. God. Can anyone else be God? Can anyone play God? Well, no. Then why do you have to do everything God? Because I'm the only God there is. There is no other way to do it. Could I have a squirrel do it? No. Could I have a human do it? No, not without God. You can't do it. Your help requires God. There are no other gods. There's only one God and Savior. So therefore, keeping that in mind, so God's wonderful working and will is to be our work. John chapter 14. I'm just trying to refresh our mind, maybe, to what? Understand your unique relationship to God. You can't practice if you don't understand the legitimacy of it and the reality of it. Otherwise, you're going to, I don't feel saved, I don't know, and we got all these different things. You'll never do it. Not exceeding beyond all the stars. That's God's, this is what I want for you. This is what I'm going to have for you when you die. I take you from here, you're going there. That's it. Endless. And that should be the motivation, moving. John chapter 14, if I can, in verse 12. Remember our Lord Jesus said, we've said these things, but verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. And then verse 13, and whatsoever then you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So what are you doing? God, I will do it. Without me, you can do nothing. I will do it. You're going to have a relationship to me, and I'm going to continue my wonderful exercise, of being my works that bear witness of my Father, of God the Father. And I'm going to do them. I'm going to do them when you receive me as your Savior. I am going to go and you're going to look to me. How am I going to look to God the Father? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, and his wonderful thing he's done for us. He gave us a unique relationship to God so that we are his children, John 1:12, become children of God. We are his sons adopted, fully adopted, till we step in from the street in our rags and dirt and junk, and we step in from the street and we get showered and fixed and everything. And new clothes, new heart, a new life, a new way to live. We turn the pages differently. We do everything differently. Because we aren't the same anymore. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. And we do that. And then verse 13, I will do it. I do it. You don't do it. I do it. So it isn't up to us to try to figure out how to do the work. What work shall I do? Hang on. Whatever you eat or drink, do more to the glory of God. It isn't a complicated thing. You know, it's too hard. God will want something awful. No, God wants you to enjoy a life. You have physical life, and you can have whatever you want within reason to eat, to drink water or whatever you're doing, and you can do all kinds of things. And all that you do, work, home, school, play, demonstrates your earthly existence. True? You tell people you're alive because you move. We tell people we're saved because we have a relationship to God. So we're doing the same things. The difference is we're saved. We have a wonderful relationship to God. And therefore, God's turning, as we turn the pages again, God already knows the answers, so we're trusting him. I don't know tomorrow, neither do you. But God does. So we're trusting God. And whatever we do, in word or deed, watch, you'll pick it up, or if I can, in Matthew chapter 11. People have not a very good understanding of God's will, of God. And therefore they don't do very good. That's why the church is in apostasy. We're at the end. Where's God in the church? You won't find him. Not very much. Not today. No. Find a whole lot of stuff, but you won't find God. So therefore, God, what'd you say to tell us? Matthew chapter 11, and you know it, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to go and tell you to get rid of those loads, the burden you're carrying. Sliding up, verse 29. Take my yoke, remember we had the yoke and all of those things, it goes around the neck. And take my yoke, it belongs to him, our Lord, and he's on one side. Take my yoke upon you, you're on the other side, and learn of me. And the word learn means, to bring into your experience. Bring into your experience his person. An exercise of his wonderful person, God. God, irreplaceable. God. I got it. Now, so, get your learning, bring it into your experience, your understanding. For I am meek and lowly in heart. So God, are you a terrible owner, savior, Lord? No, not at all. No, I'm going to take you. You're on one side of the yoke and I'm on the other. And as I get on the corridor of time, I'm going to continue. What I did without you, before I went to the cross, I did it. Now that I've gone to the cross, I made it so you could hook up with me, yoked together, to go. So I'm going to still do. I'm carrying the yoke, so don't be relaxed. And you're going to go down the corridor, and now I'm still going to be there because I put you and brought you in a unique relationship to me under the yoke. Therefore, I am lowly, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Aha, a perfect cessation. We read that on Wednesday in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. I want you to enter into his rest. Cease from your works. Enter into his rest, his wonderful working. So that it isn't you trying to create and come up with something to make it work. Nope. And wonderfully, verse 30, for my yoke, and I, if you ever want to see a yoke, I got one hanging up over in one of the rooms. Well, we had it on the farm, actually. We used to use it. Big yoke. And you wouldn't want that around your neck. No, sir. No, sir. Man, that's... I'd even have it up here, but I'd have to have three of you help me carry it up here. My yoke is easy, light. My yoke is easy. My yoke is so easy. Easy, useful, profitable, gentle. My yoke is very profitable. And my burden, the load you carry that's on top of you, is light. I never asked you to do the impossible. And the impossible becomes quite normal when I'm doing it. I'm carrying the load. You just stay with me. Without me, you can do nothing. Stay with me. I'm going to be so blowny. Is that right? Restricted. I'm restricted. I don't want free. No, you don't want that freedom. You want the God. Know the truth. The truth will set you free. From what? You're dumb. Is that right? Your dumb self. Your old stubborn, dumb self. That's our self. That's mine too. Our old nature. And it ruins us. It ruins us. And that's what the devil plays with. You understand that? The devil has a wonderful advantage over you and me. Because we got our old nature that serves S-E-L-F. And boy, the devil plays it to the core. Now, so therefore, but for that part of it, don't people say, well, if I be a believer, I don't like the load and the burden and I'll have to do God's will. It is a wonderful thing to do God's will. It is an awesome thing to walk with God. Noah did it. Abraham did it. Our Lord did it. Paul did it. Peter did it. and we're to do it. Walk as in the light as children of the light. We're to walk God. So we're looking for God's wonderful grace to be outworked as his children, and et cetera, et cetera, as we do that. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remember now one other thing that will help us in case you wonder, and we did it, over to Galatians. And Galatians chapter 5, just reminding us, in Galatians 5, that our old nature, yours and mine, how would you explain it? We did all of this Wednesday. But, verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, made clear, public, plain, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, etc., etc., etc. That's how it works. They're our works. That's what God judges. And we shared all that on Wednesday. Now, so therefore, God, I want to understand that. The devil has a wonderful, wonderful advantage. A wonderful advantage. And he has the whole system. You read it in Matthew chapter 4. The whole world system. He's the God of this world system in an awesome, 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 awesome way. Now, having said that, so here's the evil, the dark, walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Evil, evil as opposed to good. Darkness as opposed to light. Death as opposed to life. We're walking in the middle of it. That's what we're doing. And we're moving through it. And we're not to be afraid as we started in March, looking at all of this. David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, thou art with me, I will fear no evil. So God, we're in it. Well, we aren't any different than David. Nope. And we're going down the corridor, and Satan's world system is using everything and anything that has been affected by sin. Animals have been affected by sin. The sun, moon, and stars have been affected by sin. Everything's been touched by it in some form. And the devil can use. He can't use things that are good. He has to use things that are sin, that are without God. What do you mean, without God? He can't include God. He can't include God. He can't do that. We can include God and not really have a form of godliness, but deny the reality of it. We can have that. And the devil can use that. Think of angel of light and ministers of righteousness, and all of that is there. There's no question. And it looks good, sounds good, but it isn't good. It isn't good. It's a lie. It's a lie, a cheat. And God does his most wonderful thing. So now, to help to save us. So here's our humans. And since we reject light, we end up in darkness. Since we reject evil, or good, we end up with evil. And since we darkness, light, and life, we reject light, life, and good. We reject it. So therefore, we're left with all the rest of it. And you know that's why, without turning there in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 and that what are we doing? Woe unto you. Why? Because you turn everything upside down. That's the whole point. Get it upside down, off base, off track. Make it sound good. Sound wonderful little message. But it wasn't to your heart and never went anywhere else. And it was never intended to go anywhere else. It was just a message for you. A wonderful message. And out the door. And we love it. We're satisfied. That's the point. Watch it. I'm satisfied. I'm looking. I need to be moved, motivated to understand. And that we don't like that in the normal, natural way of things. So therefore, and as we seek to stay in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and look for God's life and God's blessing, all the while Satan is pursuing his agenda. That's what he's doing. And his agenda hasn't changed. So, A, make sure you get rid of any light. Darkness hates light, and light shows darkness is in error. Light shows up the darkness. Good shows up the evil. Life, your relationship to Christ, to God, shows up death. That's what it does. And so we got to get rid of any light. Now you could have a great big, back to the ocean again. Here's the ocean out there at night in the stark, big clouds are there. And that little lighthouse is out there. And it stands up, it isn't very high. But boy, you'd be surprised how far that little light can be spotted away in the darkness of night. See the light, you see the light. Uh-huh. So we're just little lights. Philippians chapter 2. God, Spirit of God, God wants you to be a light. The devil doesn't want you to be a light. There can't be a light. Light dispels darkness. Darkness cannot put out the light. Therefore, anything and everything that keeps you from being a light, being right with God, being joy, enjoying a relationship to God, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it whatsoever you do to the glory of God in your relationship to God. And they're going to ask you a reason why the hope, Philippians, 1 Peter 3:15. They're going to ask a reason of the hope within you. That's what I want to know. What mean hope? We're going to walk around hope. No, you're just living a normal life in an extraordinary way. And that's, how do you understand that? How can you figure that out? God. Because you're trusting God as the pages turn. You're trusting God to get to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. For your health, for your wealth, the disease and the germs and the government and everything else. You're trusting God. And that's what you do. All the things you could say, you should die. Sure, you should die. All you got to do is think of some things they advertise on the different advertisements. And they tell you, advertise. They advertise whatever it is, the product is. And then they spend a little bit of time, if you're interested, of 85 things that you could die. If you take this, you could lose your health, lose your eyesight, lose your ear, hearing. I mean, they have all the things, Lord. But take it. Buy it. It's on sale. $19.95 for two of them. Two bottles. Buy it. You got it? Yay. See, that's what we got. That's what we got. We're caught. The bait. The bait. Bait. Always lots of bait. Lots of bait out there to catch us. Now, so having said that, so, God, we need to go, and all the while that we shared, the devil is using this whole system to do what he does and to get us. Over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, may I pick up so you'll see it. We shared it before, but you want to keep it in focus. John's going to write the end in chapter 1 John 5. I'm going to go all the way over in the light of verse 19. For we know that we are of God, belong to God. On the contrary, the whole world system, all the countries, all the people of the world, the whole world system lies in wickedness, in evil, in bad. It belongs to the devil. And the easiest way to remember that wonderful little illustration God gives you, it's a long casket down in the ground. And you can go to the left, you can go to the right, but you can't get out. The world system is a big casket, and you're boxed in. Whether you go this way or that way, go to school, you don't go to school, you're rich, you're poor, you're whatever you are, whatever you want to be. The whole world, that's why in Matthew 4, you read it, God, the devil offers the Lord all the kingdoms of the world. He could never do that if it wasn't his. He's the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. Wow. And he has you. Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air that worketh in all the children that don't believe. That's what he does. And he can't get out. But I'm going to be better. And power of positive thinking and all these different things. And those are all wonderful little things we do. And we do them, more or less, to try to improve our life and whatever we do. But we never entered into life. We entered in an exercise of our human existence. But we were still in the casket. We weren't free. We're in the casket, no matter what we do. Where's the hope? To see the hope within you? No, because I look at you and you look at me, make believe in the world. And they believe and you believe. They believe what they want to believe and you believe what you want to believe. Can I believe what I want? Sure you can. But your belief doesn't save you. The belief isn't the truth. It's just what you believe. What you think. You want to think such? You can think you're a cat. That's fine. Whatever. It? You want to think you're an it anymore? The Equality Act? You know, whatever you want to do. And you can do it. But you're still in the casket. And the powers are there. Everything's there in the casket. The whole world lieth in the wicked one. Now, picking up that little bit in thought, if you would, sliding over to, not to Ephesians. We just did that in our little heart and mind. Over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And our Lord, describing the movement of history, us humans. And in Matthew chapter 13, picking up, please, if I may, about the devil. Remember the parable of the sower? And God gives his word. That's what we're looking at. We're trying to understand it better and better, more and more. We're looking at the Bible as we do that. Now, as we're looking at the Bible, here's the devil. I don't think he's here. We're nobody about all the things he's got to do. But the other guys could be here. I don't ever question that, the other guys. I leave them alone. They leave me alone. To a point. Chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, I don't understand that. Oh, I understand that. Sure, people say, I don't like that. That's true. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is that which received seed by the wayside. So God, you're going to keep taking it away. The devil keeps taking it away. The devil, the system. You understand about but? You ever hear but? But. I agree. But. See. But. Yeah, we got it. I got it. That's what we got. You know. God, the devil. The devil. The bait. Bait's attractive. Bait is. Bait. Do you think the average fish would go to a hook? A little old hook with a big thing looking at you like that? I think that the fish would, I wouldn't want to go that. But if you put a nice piece of bait on there, you know, a big long worm, and you put that worm on there, wow, you know, well, that's pretty good, guys, and then we're going to race you for it. That's a fish. How did you get hooked? You took the bait. You took the bait. That's what you did. The trap. Here's the trap, the old-fashioned trap. Don't want to get your foot in them. And here's the trap. And you got a nice something and said, boy, that looks good. Boom. You don't want to do that. You take the bait. Take the bait. The bait. Bait. Attractive. It sounds good, looks good, feels good. I like it. That's it. The bait. So God, you're going to go, and verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, care of this world, anxiety of this world, and the deceitfulness of his riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. We're caught up with the bait, all kinds of catching us, so we don't produce, we miss out on the exceeding wonderfulness of being saved in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would please, over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 2. Our time's gone, but just to pick up something that would help us, maybe. Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought. May I go directly to verse 11. Lest Satan, what are you warning us about? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. The bait takes it. For we are not ignorant of his devices. The word devices, purposes, his thinking. We are not to be stupid about the devil's thinking. I know the devil doesn't want me to believe, doesn't want me to enjoy being saved, doesn't want me to enjoy any of the wonderment. Wants me to be like everyone else, dull and whatever. That's what they want. And I know that, you know that. So I'm not going to let that happen. But my problem, my job, my work, my home, my problems are there. They are. But they aren't going to take away from me that joy, the right I have to enjoy eternal life, a unique relationship to God. I don't want to lose that. So the devices, the devil, he's playing them. What's he playing in this case? Would you please note in verse 10? To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it, I forgave it in the person of Christ. What was the problem? What was the bait? Forgiveness. You want forgiving. You want forgiving. The bait. We take it. I have a right. You did. You said. It said. She said. That's bait. And the devil plays it. Plays it. Don't be stupid about his divine purpose. He wants you to what? The issue is you got to be forgiving. I don't want to be forgiven. I have a right. No, you don't. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And picking up again all over the place, but at least you see it. Verse 32. 4 and 32. And be kind one to another. That doesn't mean everyone's wonderful. They aren't. We're humans. We're humans. And you ought to be content. We're humans. And when you talk to someone else, they're human just like you are. So with all the humanness we have, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How so? Even as God, for Christ's sake, that's why he's doing it, hath forgiven you. Because you're being forgiven. So don't do something that has to be forgiven when you're being forgiven. What are you doing? You can't pile anything up. I'm forgiving you every single second. You got an old nature. Over to Ephesians chapter 1. And if I can remember the introduction to all of these things, Ephesians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 7. To whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That's what you got. How could you get saved if God didn't forgive you? Would you tell me? How many sins, how many words, thought, deed, anything that lacks his righteousness exists in your life or mine? How can anything exist and still be saved? I can't be. One sin, the mountain hits the mountain, the airplane crashes halfway, 5,000 feet. The airplane crashes at 5 feet. Isn't the result the same? They're all dead. One sin. He said, one sin. How many sins do we have? Just one that has to be forgiven. And therefore, God, what are you doing? I forgave. I'm forgiving you every single second. I did it. My son died to take care of what? Your whole life from start to finish. That's why you're saved. That's why you live like that. Otherwise, people get soured and get off base. And we lose it. One other place in closing, appreciate, just to tack on to that again so you don't lose it. Colossians. And in Colossians, if I can. I'll pick you up, please, in chapter 2. Colossians in chapter 2. And you will notice, please, in verse 13. And you, being dead, Christ took us to the cross. He died, took our place. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, if that isn't true, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. Have to be saved. Well, then be saved. That means I'm forgiven. What do I have? I don't have any problem because God died for everyone you know, all the people you know, all enemies, friends, good guys, bad guys, of all the people you know. Are all those people, when Christ died on the cross, how many sins did he die for each one of them? For all of them, didn't he? So every person that you meet on planet Earth, Christ has died for all their sin. True? What do they need to do? They need to believe. That's what they need to do. That's why you go up and tell them to be saved. You don't tell them up they got to confess all their sins. No, they don't. They need to be saved because they've been forgiven. So there's no one you're going to be with or meet everywhere, anywhere, that Christ has already died for their sins. And you just need to believe and enjoy it. And thank God. See, I'm trying to make people what they aren't. We're just us humans. Well, I got to quit. I hope we got a little bit. Didn't get very far, but on impedance. The devil wants to impede any progress in any way, shape, or form, so that you cannot exceed the wonderment of being saved. And how many people do you know that are excited about being saved? That's what the children need to see, all of them. They don't need to say, oh, I got to do this. No, no, it's a wonderful thing to be saved and forgiven. Do you understand? And if you're saved and forgiven, boy, you're one grand person to be with. Because you aren't harboring anything. You just saved. Wow. You see? Our Father and God, deal with our heads and our hearts and help us in every way. It's just us. God, we're just fumbling along trying to get it straight. Trying to enter in, God, to the exceeding awesomeness of knowing you as our Lord and Savior. Of your exceeding awesomeness in power, in understanding, God, in the outworking of your will for our life. God, we're getting all caught up. We get weaker. We lose the fire. We lose the zest. We lose the interest, God. You can't keep staying housebound and everything else and never get anywhere. God, we've got to get back to where we need to be. And God, you got to help us get there inch by inch, if you would. God, we're just trying to make it. That's all. We're up against it. And we're only going to get weaker and more wayward. And God, we've got to do the very opposite and get closer and more committed. As the men disappear, as the believers fall back and disappear, we want to be counted as those that are trying to hang in there and stay with it and stay strong and straight until you come. And that's your will, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.